In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us again today for the Word for Life radio ministry. We want to focus our attention today in the next couple of sessions on a thought that is sometimes very difficult to accept. The Bible says that all things concerning you concerning me too. That's God speaking. All things that concern you as a child of God concern God as well. Zechariah 2:8 says, "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye." Oh, how precious you are in God's sight. When you're one of God's children, you are loved beyond possible comprehension. But so many times, we are questioning that love because we want to understand how God is working. We want to understand what God is allowing. But God doesn't always give us that explanation. All you have to do is read the book of Job to remember that. Job had no clue of the conversations between Satan and God that led up to all of the trials and testings that Job went through. But God was in control. God was in charge. But see, the Bible tells us, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Now, notice it doesn't say for everything give thanks, because there are some things that it's just impossible to give thanks for them. But in them, during the entire time that we are going through some difficult times and we are passing through the water, so to speak, or maybe even passing through the fire, if you will, God says, "I want you to give thanks that I am in control, that I'm in charge, even though you desperately want things to change. You desperately want to get out of whatever you're going through. Maybe you've longed to do something great, but you've been laid aside on a bed of affliction. How in the world does that make sense? Or maybe you've even been replaced by somebody else that isn't as qualified as you are, or hasn't been there as long as you have, and you go home and every night it just eats your lunch. Like, Lord, I don't understand." Or I've talked to some folks that have lost their entire retirement savings through being defrauded, through some organization going bankrupt. And they've lost everything. They're decimated. And now they have to work many more years and can't retire. Now, how can they have a grateful spirit is the question that they ask. Or sometimes I'm talking to single folks and I'm saying, "In everything give thanks." And they're saying, "Be thankful for a life of singleness." Even when I feel that loneliness is going to overwhelm me on a daily basis, how in the world is that possible? In everything give thanks. I may call your attention to a passage of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 12. The story is recounted to us of King Solomon going to be with the Lord. His son, Rehoboam, is set to take over. And so the people of the land come to him and they basically say, "If you will make our taxes less, if you will not make it so difficult to serve you, we will serve you all the rest of our lives." And he said, "Well, come back in 3 days, and I'll give you an answer." And so the Bible tells us a very interesting story that he asks the older men that served with King Solomon, his dad, and said, what should I do? And they said, "Listen to these people. Their complaint is very real and very understandable. So listen to them. Give them some release and some relief, as it were." But then the Bible says in verse 8, he forsook the counsel of the old men and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. That's verse 8. In other words, they were already in leadership. He'd already appointed them, and they were his peers. They were not men of wisdom, men of experience. They were men of his same age, young men. And those men gave counsel exactly opposite of the older men, and they said, "Tell these people to stop complaining. If they thought it was bad under my dad's rulership, it's going to be worse under my rulership." And so when the people came back in 3 days and asked what his answer was, he answered them very, very roughly. He said in verse 14, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, and I will chastise you with scorpions." Now notice verse 15. 1 Kings 12:15, "Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people." Now here's the phrase, "for the cause was from the Lord." That's interesting. "For the cause was from the Lord." Now the Bible goes on to tell us that all of his people said, "Fine." And they just walked away and said, "That's the way it's going to be." Now, there was a man by the name of Jeroboam who was leading most of the tribes of Israel. And Jeroboam said, "We don't have to follow this guy. If he's going to make it worse, let's just rebel. Let's just divide from the kingdom." And the Bible tells us that 9.5 tribes walked away. They were called then from that point on the tribes of Israel. And only 2.5 tribes stayed, and they were called the tribes of Judah. And so the tribes of Israel, 12.5 tribes together, decided, "We're going to make Jeroboam our king, and we're going to rebel against Rehoboam, who's trying to be our king and is trying to make things tough." And it even goes on to say that Rehoboam had 180,000 men in their army. They were going to go against Jeroboam and fight against the house of Israel. But notice verse 22. "But the word of the Lord came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, You shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me." In other words, the split kingdom, God said, is from me. The amazing thing is that Rehoboam listened to the voice of God. It says, "They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord." Can you imagine that? The kingdom has been divided. 9.5 tribes have left and left Rehoboam with just a small group of people. But Rehoboam and those people listened to the voice of God when God said, "This split is from me." Now, it'd be impossible for Rehoboam to understand, how could this possibly be from God? But he listened to what God said and walked away and refused to fight the other half of the tribes of Israel. "This thing is from me." I want you to write that phrase down, because so many times God is doing something that we don't understand, and this thing is from him. Imagine a couple of farming families. One farmer raises tomatoes and the other farmer raises wheat. They're both Christian families, and both of their farms are being paid for month by month, and a major payment is due. And unless that payment is reached, they will lose their farms. Now, the wife in each family is crippled and needs a very expensive device to enable her to walk. If the harvest is adequate, she'll be able to obtain a special piece of equipment to help her walk. So they're sitting around the dinner table. A tomato farmer speaks to his family and says, "Now, family, this is a crisis moment in our tomato crop. As you know, the tomatoes are all ripe, and tomorrow we'll begin picking the crop. In a short time, the crews will move in and harvest it. Everything looks as though we're going to come out all right. The farm will be ours. Your mother will be able to walk. But the forecast," he said, "is for a 50% chance of rain tonight. We know if it rains, with the way our soil is, it's going to turn into such a muck that nobody will be able to get in and harvest the crop. And not only that, but the moisture around the stems of the tomatoes will cause them to rot. So let's pray." So mom and dad and the children began to pray, "Lord, please keep the rain away. Now, down the road at the wheat farm, the father is talking to his family, and he says, "Family, you know that the wheat is just to the point that if we get a good rain, it'll bring into an abundant harvest." So they gathered around the table and prayed, "Lord, please send the rain." Now, here's an infinitely wise God. Two families that both love the Lord. These prayers go up to God. And, of course, God could make it rain here and rain there, but let's assume that he doesn't do that. And so in the middle of the night, the wheat farmer is awakened by a tinkle on the road, and he holds his breath. And before long, he hears the rain coming down. He's filled with praise because God has answered his prayer. The other farmer is lying in bed and hears that tinkle that turns into a downpour, and he hurts inside. The next morning at the breakfast table, it's quiet. As mom is wheeled in, one of the children says, "Daddy, didn't God hear us last night?" And dad, with wisdom, says, "Our God has a mind big enough to know what he's doing. Let's just trust him." 5 years pass. At the wheat farm, the barn is freshly painted and everything is modern. Mom is walking around. The father gathers the family and says, "Today is an anniversary. 5 years ago today, God performed a miracle. Let's praise him." But down the road, everything is in poor repair, and Mom is still in her wheelchair. Dad comes to his family and says, "Today is a 5-year anniversary of one of the most crucial days in our family. What has happened in those 5 years?" And one by one, they begin to share some of the precious things that have come through suffering. And Father leads his family in prayer, and it's a prayer of praise. "Father, we love you more than we ever loved you before. Lord, somehow our values have changed. Things we used to think were important aren't quite as important anymore. So, how do you respond when it rains in your life?" See, the question is, when are we going to stop asking God why? It's as though we're giving him a subtle complaint that somehow his mind isn't good enough. See, so many times, God says it's okay to ask, but never to demand. It's okay to trust him. It's okay to expect things from God. But the greatest thing that God can ever do for you is to cause you to love him with all your heart and soul and might. "This thing is from me." And when you recognize that Rehoboam heard the voice of God and realized, "I don't understand. The kingdom has been divided. I'm no longer in control, but God says this thing is from me." And let me tell you, my friend, the same thing is true for us. And we can use these words as a pillow for our weary head. When you have money difficulties, we can simply say, "God, I know that this thing is from you." Because Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus." The next time we're together, we'll continue to think about the things that are from God and how God can use them to bring about his glory for your good. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.